Well, we want to thank everyone for coming on this afternoon. We appreciate all the prayers and support, and thank you to everybody that's with us. Your speaker this afternoon is going to be Bruce Paul House, and he's standing by. Let me know when you're ready to go, Paul.
I'm good.
All right. So,
you hear me okay?
Yeah, we hear you fine.
Okay.
So, go ahead.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. And when Doug called me and asked me if I'd do this, I was happy to do it with the Lord's help. And trust each one will pray as I go that the Lord will help me to say the right things that might be an encouragement. We're staying at Tom and Marie's right now, my in-laws. And we have a couple of families with us. So I asked them to help this afternoon, and I'd like to start with number 168. So you can sing along on your end, and we'll sing on this end, and then we'll get started. Thank you.
The night is far spent, and the day is at hand. No sign to be looked for, the stars in the sky. Rejoice and ye saints, sing, joy, Lord, tongues are rare. Rejoice for the coming of Jesus was nigh. What a day will that be when the Savior appears? I'll welcome to the
and enjoy it together. We just thank thee for thy goodness to each one of us. We thank thee for the grace that finds us here with the health and strength that we enjoy. And now we would just pray that as we open thy word, there may be something that would kindle within us a holy desire. We pray by thy Holy Spirit that there may be that which would encourage us this afternoon. And so we just ask for thy help. We ask for thy wisdom and guidance. And we pray for attentive hearts and ears that listen. to thy word. We ask for thy help now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I've been thinking about the subject that I want to speak about this afternoon for quite some time. It's probably about 4 months ago. We have a weekly open meeting or a monthly open meeting in Rideau Ferry where I go. And the odd time, our brother John Kemp from Ottawa will link in via Zoom. And so in this particular open meeting, he spoke on the life of Barnabas. And what an encouragement that he was to the early saints and how he worked with the Apostle Paul diligently and brought the Apostle Paul actually to, as in his teaching capacity, to be a help to the brethren. And then if you turn to Acts chapter 15, there's actually kind of a sad account in Acts chapter 15 because Paul and Barnabas had a difference of an opinion. And so let's start with verse 36 of chapter 15 of Acts. Acts chapter 15 and verse 36. And some days after, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do." And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went throughout Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. And John's point was that Barnabas was a tremendous help to the apostle. But because of this issue where he wanted his nephew, perhaps Mark, to come along, there was this difficulty between Paul and Barnabas. And Barnabas went his way and Paul went the way that he went. And then we never read really of Barnabas again in the scriptures. And so that was kind of a disappointment to me. And Barnabas had been such a help. And yet we don't really read of him being a tremendous help like he had been. Some time ago, I was reading through the book of Acts and came to this story and always kind of made me sad to see brethren that didn't get along and they departed from one another. And then we have chapter 16, and this is really the subject that I want to speak about this afternoon. Verse 1. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed. But his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters. But they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. That's as far as we'll read for now. But we have introduced to us another man, Timotheus. So if we can say it this way, that Barnabas goes off the scene from the scriptures, and I'm sure he was of use to the Lord, and I don't want to take away from that. But here we have the introduction of Timotheus. Timotheus means honoring God. And I just have really enjoyed Timotheus as I've studied a little bit of him in the scriptures. I have a grandson named Timothy, so that makes the name special to me. But I just was enjoying Timotheus. And if you start looking through the New Testament, you'll find him in a number of spots. And some are interesting, and we'll notice maybe a little later on that one of the books, he's the only one that's one of the contemporaries at the time of the epistle that was recorded in the writing. So I just wanted to start by saying that in verse 1, Timotheus, it says, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus. So Timotheus was a disciple. Disciples are followers of the Lord Jesus, aren't they? And this afternoon, I hope that each one of us that's hearing my voice is a disciple. We're followers of the Lord Jesus. And our desire is, because we love him and because he first loved us and showed his love at Calvary, we want to serve him well. And so here's Timotheus, he's a disciple. And he was the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and we'll talk about her a little bit later, and believed. But, and that word is key. When we read that in the scriptures where it says, but, there's a reason for that word. It doesn't say, and his father was a Greek. It says, but. But his father was a Greek. And I don't want to prolong this, but I've just wondered why a Jewish lady would marry a Gentile. And perhaps we would say this was out of order, and perhaps it was, but it happened. And how each one of us has to realize in our lives that we haven't always done everything right. We've made mistakes. We haven't done the Lord's will always. And the result is that perhaps we haven't had the same circumstances that we could have had. So here we have this Timotheus. His mom was a Jewess. His dad was a Greek. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But then it says he was well reported of by the brethren. Now, I want to talk to you young folks that are here today. Let's say I came to your assembly. I was talking to one of the older brothers, and I said, so what about him or what about her? How are they doing? What would they say? So here we have the admonition, or that we have the what's given is that he's well reported of by the brethren. This to me is tremendous. What's our report like? Our brethren know us pretty well. When I grew up in Ottawa, the brethren there knew what I was like. They knew what a rascal I was. And it's the grace of God that finds me here today. But each one of us is known, aren't we? So may it be that we'll have this exercise to be well reported of by our local brethren. Him would Paul have to go forth, verse 3, with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters. Now, if you look back in chapter 15, you'll see that circumcision was not a requirement for salvation. But because he was gracious and because he didn't want to make any offense in anything, the apostle took and circumcised Timotheus. And it says here, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. Perhaps some of you can share with me your thoughts on why this little expression is there, that his father was a Greek. But it almost some that were Judaizers would probably say, well, he wasn't circumcised because his father was a Greek, and run him down for that reason. And the apostle didn't want any reason why Timothy wouldn't be a help to his brethren. So verse 4 and 5 are really good verses to me, because Timothy learned by example, the example of the Apostle Paul, that his purpose was to help the brethren, to go among the assemblies and to be a help. And I want to just throw this in for a minute, and for each one of us, are we a help? As we travel, perhaps we can't right now because of COVID so much, but when we do get around, when we do see people, when we go to bump into somebody shopping or whatever it may be, are we a help? Are we encouragement? And I really believe that Timotheus learned firsthand from the Apostle Paul. And we'll see as we study him a little bit, what a tremendous brother he was. What a help. Let's turn to 1 First Timothy now. What's interesting is that the apostle Paul wrote an epistle to this man. And if you read, he actually wrote two of them, First Timothy and Second Timothy. And if you read these epistles, you'll see that there's some direct admonitions to Timothy. So it says thee or thine, or it's singular. So it's to Timothy particularly. But there's many other verses as we go through the book, and we won't do the whole book, but those verses are actually give tremendous instruction even for us now as to how we're, for instance, to consider elders and those kind of things in the assembly, or whether it's widows or whatever it may be. The instruction that Timothy was given, some was personal, but some would flow over to us as well, and we could take his personal admonitions as well for our own blessing. Chapter 1 of 1 Timothy, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Lord. We'll stop just with that. Paul and Timothy had a very special relationship. You know, Paul had just lost in Acts 15 his traveling companion in Barnabas. Silas goes with him, but then Timotheus comes on the scene. And Timotheus was a real help to the apostle. And I would take that Timothy perhaps was a little bit younger than Paul. And we'll see that maybe as we read through this a little bit. But it's really precious to me how that in verse 2, it says, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. My own son in the faith. And I'm going to speak for a minute about to some of us fellas that are a little bit older in the assemblies. You know, there's younger ones that are coming up. Do we treat them like they're our sons? Do we love them that way? You know, the Apostle Paul, he just loved Timothy. And Timothy didn't doubt it. Timothy knew it. And what a help when the Apostle Paul would tell him this or that. Timothy would read it and say, hey, this is from somebody that really loves me, really cares for me, that really wants my benefit, my blessing. I'm going to listen to what he has to say. I'm going to learn from it and benefit from it. Now, just remember what we read in verse 2, because we're going to compare the first few verses in 2 Timothy to these verses and just see the progression in the affection that the apostle had for his son in the faith. He wasn't his natural son, but he was his son in the faith. And may it be, brethren, that we would have sons in the faith, that we would really want younger brethren to go on and be an encouragement in the assemblies that they are in. Okay, so chapter 3 now, 1 Timothy 3. And this is a personal admonition to Timothy, but we can benefit from it this afternoon. It says in verse, let me just check my notes here. Verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So there's been lots of verses that came between chapter 1, verse 2 that we finished on in 3:15. But this is a personal word to Timothy, that thou oughtest to, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself. We'll go that far. Behavior. This is something that as a boy, I was not characterized by good behavior. I mentioned that a little bit earlier. And that's a sad thing. Thankfully, the Lord has worked with me and helped me. But as believers, we need to behave. And how are we going to know how to behave? We need to know the scriptures. We need to know what the Word of God requires of us. Because we're in the house of God. That's the next expression. And so I've heard it said, and I'm sure it's right, that First Timothy gives us the perspective of the house of God in order. And so we have a lot of admonition as to how the house of God should run when it's in order. But it says that the house of God is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And I'm just going to add this little comment here that, you know, the assembly may seem like a very insignificant thing. 150 years ago, there were spiritual giants who wrote all kinds of articles and so on within Christendom at that time. The assembly perhaps was a little more clearly seen than it is now. But let's not make the mistake that the assembly is irrelevant. It's very relevant. And the assembly is to hold what's right doctrinally and to go on right morally as well. But this verse is teaching us, I think, that the assembly is the pillar. A pillar is something that you see. It's also the stay or the ground of the truth. What does the assembly hold? The assembly needs to hold what the Word of God teaches. Nothing more and nothing less. Just that. Then it is fulfilling the mission that God has given to the church here. That it would be the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, I want to talk just for a little minute about the assembly today. And yes, in some assemblies, there's maybe just two or three. Maybe you're from a little bigger assembly where there's a dozen or 15 or 20 or 30 or 60 or 80 or maybe 100, or maybe you're from an assembly that's much bigger than that. But that assembly, believe it or not, is an important part of Christendom. And it's important in this regard. If people really want to know what's right, they check out the assembly. You say, what do you mean? Say, well, if there's a specific matter of doctrine, I have been asked, what does the assembly teach on that? By people who were once in the assembly that know better and should be there, but have left. But they want to know what's right. I don't want to be misunderstood as being proud or in a different league or whatever, but the assembly and what it holds is very important to the brethren, to the believers around us. Okay, now I want to move along a little bit to chapter 4. And I want to look at another very personal appeal by the Apostle Paul to his son in the faith. So 4:12 says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, or manner of life, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all or in all things. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, this particular set of verses has been a tremendous encouragement to me many times. And I would just say, if there's somebody here this afternoon that's wavering a bit, and you say, what do you mean? Well, you know exactly what I mean. You know at the bottom of your soul if you're going on well or not with the Lord Jesus. And if you're not, then these verses are for you. And if you are, they're for you too. This is an encouragement for us in a dark day to go on. Yes, Timothy maybe was a little younger than the apostle, but we all need this encouragement. We need to live lives that are well-pleasing to our Lord. This to me is a tremendous encouragement. Be thou an example of the believers. Wow. This is a high order, but this is what the apostle who loved this man, Timothy, required of him. And that's what the Lord requires of us too. And those of us who have sons in the faith in our home assemblies, this is the kind of advice that we need to give these young men and young women too, for the sisters that are mothers here today. Verse 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee. That's a heavy verse. You know, the Lord has given us each one talents and abilities. It says, neglect not. Let's not neglect what God has given us. Verse 15, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. We're going to see this characteristic in this dear man. We read in another place in the Word of God. And then it says in verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them. Continue is a verse that, or a word, I'm sorry, that I would like to pass on this afternoon. Continue. Continue. You know, it's easy to give up and quit. Anybody can quit. But it takes courage, takes real exercise before the Lord to continue. May we each continue. Now why? The end of verse 16. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now I want to speak for a minute to the parents that are here today. If you give up, it's going to affect your kids. Period. That's how it is. If we give up as parents, it's going to have a detriment on our kids. You know, we don't need read about Timothy's wife or anything like that. And don't get me wrong, but Timothy affected other people. We affect other people too. But as parents, let's remember, yes, it was a blessing for us to carry on and continue. But what about our kids? Now, chapter 6. And notice I'm just picking out a few verses here. These two epistles are full of verses that are tremendous for us. Give us all kinds of practical teaching, but also encourage us on too, to follow the Lord. Okay, so chapter 6 of 1 Timothy and verse 11. It says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, or what is really life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Then verse 20, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Not a lot on this, but just the expression, O man of God, in verse 11. There's a few other men of God, and that's maybe a piece of homework for anyone that's interested to pick up and search through, but think of the men of God in the scriptures, and there's a number of them, but here's one right here, Timothy. He's a young man, but he's a man of God already. How come? Well, we're going to see that he had a godly mom. He had a godly grandmom, but that wasn't good enough. He was godly himself. So here we have a man of God. And he was to flee the things that go before in this chapter, the sin and misery that's all around us. And he was to be righteous and godly, full of faith and love. All these things that we know as believers were to be characterized by. And It says in verse 20, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Can you imagine Timothy when he was reading this? He's getting this epistle from this man that he knows loves him like a son in the faith. He just loves him. He's reading it and he said, and he gets to verse 20 and he says, and it says, oh, Timothy, boy, I'm sure he just dug in and it's like, what comes next? Keep that which is committed to thy trust. And that's what I would say to us as brethren here today. You know, we've been given so much and we need to keep it. Keep that which has been committed to us. Hold fast. Don't give up. Continue. Now let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to see a little bit about this man, Timothy. And this to me is a tremendous encouragement, but also a tremendous challenge. The Apostle Paul had traveled with Timothy, and Timothy had been a help to the Apostle, but the Apostle had to move on. And so he went from assembly to assembly, but then he would send various ones to the assemblies that he had been at with the purpose of strengthening the various assemblies. And I've just been reading through Philippians in my own reading, and I came across these verses in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 19. It says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. I said that this was an encouragement, but also an exercise. So there's issues in the Philippi assembly. There's trials and difficulties. Timotheus was sent by the Apostle Paul so that the Apostle would understand the assembly and that he could communicate things to them. Who was Paul going to send? He sends Timotheus or Timothy. Timothy is the English word. It's Timotheus, same word. So he sends Timothy, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. Now notice what it says in verse 20. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Now, how many people, believers, do you know who would go out of their way to take care of other believers? When I said that, who came into your mind? Who was it that you first thought of that cares for other believers? You know, there's people that I can think of that have really taken care of me. And I appreciate that. You know, when they have troubles, I remember to pray for them. I should pray for everybody. But they've prayed for me. They've helped me. And we should all be characterized like Timothy was, who would naturally care for them. Now, verse 21 is the exercise. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. This is a tough verse for me, because I have things that I take care of for me, that are important to me, that I have to get done, that are really important. But what about my brethren? Do I have the same care for them? Timotheus did. And the Apostle Paul knew it. And as a son, he had served with him in the gospel. This to me is beautiful. And you can read this on your own time. But just to see how this man was so willing to help his fellow brethren. May we each one have this particular desire as well. Now let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 13. This is something I just figured out in the last few days when I was thinking about this subject. There's lots of names that are given in chapter 11, right? Because we have that faith chapter. So we've got people like Abraham and Enoch and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and so on, David and Samson. Then if you look at the end of Hebrews, there's no names given like the rest of the epistles, but there's one given, one name. So verse 23, know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty. Why is Timothy here? I don't know. I'll give you some ideas as to what I think is the reason. First of all, Timothy had a father that was a Greek. The Hebrews, who this epistle was written to, would naturally say, well, his ministry isn't of any value to me because his father was a Gentile. I don't have to listen to him. Or maybe someone would say, well, his mother married a Gentile. He obviously isn't worth listening to. I don't know all the reasons, but I can tell you one thing, and that is that he was set at liberty. What does that mean? That means he was a prisoner. So not only was Timothy faithful to the brethren, not only was he a help to the Apostle Paul, but Timothy was a prisoner for the Lord Jesus Christ. To me, this shows his devotedness to the Lord. He was devoted to the Apostle Paul. He was devoted to his brethren. He was also devoted to the Lord. And he was so devoted that he went to jail. You know, we live in a culture where we don't really have to worry about going to jail because we're faithful to the Lord. We've seen maybe little ripples on the surface as to in this pandemic of not wearing masks and so on, what the government may want us to do. But in general, because we're believers, we don't have to go to jail. But the apostle, Timothy, and many others were willing in the early church locked up for their faith in Christ. Now let's head over to 2 Timothy. And I want to look at the beginning of 2 Timothy in terms of the salutation that Paul gives him. Some time has gone by between the first epistle and the second epistle, perhaps a year. Some people think more. We don't know exactly. But according to history, from what I've read, 2 Timothy is the last book, the last epistle that the Apostle Paul ever wrote. We get that from some of the verses at the end of the epistle. But I just wanted to read the first part of 2 Timothy. So 2 Timothy 1, we've run out of time, so I'll just make this quick. We read that verse, we'll start at verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. We'll go that far. You can read this on your own time, but I kind of feel that the way this second epistle starts is perhaps shows a little bit more of the apostle's love for Timothy. Talks a little bit about the prayers of the apostle for this younger brother. But it talks about his mother and grandmother in verse 5. And I want to spend a minute on that. First of all, unfeigned faith. Unfeigned faith. Is our faith like that? Or sometimes do I pretend and get things done, pretend that I have faith, but I really don't? So this man, Timothy, he had unfeigned faith, which dwelt first in my grandmother, Lois. I like this. Grandmother. Now, children, boys, girls, maybe you're with your grandmother today. Think about what God has given you in that grandmother. Think of the effect that she's had for your blessing. Thank the Lord for your grandmother. Timothy's grandmother affected him. We know this. The great apostle Paul said so by the Holy Spirit in the Word of God. And our mother Eunice. Now I'm going to talk a little bit about family troubles for a minute. And I don't want to, I'm not thinking of anybody. We read that the father of Timothy was a Greek. We don't want to read into these verses more than what's here. But it says that Lois had faith first. Somehow Eunice got married to a Greek. But now Eunice, it seems, has this faith. And then Timothy, her son, had this faith. I said at the beginning that we've all maybe not gone on the way we should have. There's been things that have come into our lives that perhaps we're not happy about in the presence of the Lord. But we can go on. And the result can be blessing in our families. May it be so. Let's not give up. Let's continue. That the profiting may be to our loved ones too. Now I want to spend a little bit of time on chapter 2. And well, let's look at a phrase in verse 20. It says, but in a great house. So in 2 Timothy, it's really the house of God in disorder. And so we don't have all the orderliness that we have in the first epistle, but we have the admonition for a young man from a father in the faith, what to do in a day of disorder. And so we're going to read some verses in chapter 3, and we'll end on this. Chapter 3, 2 Timothy. And it says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So this little admonition is very personal. It's continue thou. So this is directly from the Apostle Paul, from really the Holy Spirit and God, but continue thou. So this afternoon, I would say the same. Continue thou. I say that to me. I say that to each one of us. continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now, verse 15. This is a tough verse for me. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. This past week, there was a dear sister in Rideau Ferry who went home to be with the Lord. And we're going to miss her so much. She was like a pillar in the assembly and a tremendous help to me personally. When in Sunday school, she would give, no one gave out a hymn, she would always give out number 11. Oh, cling to the Bible, my boy. You need to do that. We need to continue that from a child. You know, since I can remember, this lady was a godly lady. How is it for each one of us? I just turned 58. I grew up in the assembly. I heard the scriptures from when I was a kid, a little child. I went to Sunday school. I learned verse after verse, stored it in my heart. The Lord has been so good to me. Now, there's many people that I'm looking at this afternoon on the screen. The Lord's been good to you too. There's many of us that can say that from a child. My dad couldn't say that. My grandpa couldn't say that. My grandpa was saved when he was 24. My dad was saved when he was 17. But I came to the assembly when I was a little kid. That's all I've ever known. What a blessing the Lord has given to each one of us. Continue thou. From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, verse 17, we'll end with this. We saw in the first epistle, the Apostle Paul calls Timothy a man of God. Here we have it again. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. My desire in taking up this little bit on Timothy is that we would be encouraged. Encouraged to follow the Lord, to continue, and to reflect a little bit on what we have. Many of us have had the privilege of being exposed to the gospel, to the truth of gathering from when we were just children. And let's not throw that away. Let's continue. For the blessing of ourselves, but also for our families. And I guess I would just like to leave the thought with you that, you know, the subject of the man of God is another subject we can follow up in the scriptures. But let's each be men and women of God. Let's serve the Lord. Let's go on happily. And let's be to the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our loving God and Father, we thank thee this afternoon for thy blessed word. We thank thee for the things that we have learned this afternoon.